Listeners, remember when everyone was doing juice cleanses and was basically hangry all the time? Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Ro's partners handle all the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes, BMI, and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/clink. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/clink. Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How are you?
Oh, fab. You list.
Well, the season to be sick.
Oh, everybody is around here. Even my son, he's like,
oh my God.
He's like, I still have a sore throat after 3 weeks. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, go get me a new toothbrush.
Like, my okay. Husband thinks that we have like mold or like something weird because we just cannot get better. It's perpetual.
Well, I don't know. You can try to test for that, but I don't know. Everybody around here is doing the same thing. It's like sinus infection, sore throat, strep throat, cold, back to sinus infection. I don't know.
We get better, then we get worse. Yeah. And then he kind of he gets in my head because he's like, maybe it never went away.
Yeah.
Then well, he wants me to take the children to the doctor. Oh. And then he quizzes me after and says, did you tell him it never really went away? I'm like, no, because that would make me sound like a bad parent.
Oh, my gosh.
So, of course, I did not disclose that information.
Oh, gosh. I had such a morning today. So I drive really far to drop my son off to his special school. And as soon as I'm leaving, the car starts like making this like clunking noise, like boom, 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 like that. Right. And it's like actually like feels like it's vibrating my entire car. So I'm like, shit, I must run over something.
It's not a good sign.
No. And I'm like, there's something for sure like hanging on my wheel or whatever. So I find like a, you know, I put my flashers on and it's a really busy street. So I finally like pull into somebody's driveway and I look under the car, like there's nothing there. And then I'm like, okay, must be a flat tire. No flat tire. Like, and mind you, this is an electric vehicle. Okay. So I'm like, what else could it be? This thing, I think it doesn't really run on anything but a battery. Get back in the car. It starts clunking again. And I'm like, okay, now it's a battery issue. Is this thing going to blow up on me? You've always scared me to death about having a Tesla because these batteries sometimes blow up. And so anyways, I took it to straight to the Tesla dealership in, or not dealership. I took it to the mechanic area in Dallas. And the guy gets in the car with me to see if he can recreate the sound, which I'm like, yeah, it's no problem. It's doing it the whole way. He's like, holy shit. I've never heard this before. I'm like, oh my God.
Fine. Oh no. Like,
okay. Well, this is a problem then, isn't it? He's like, yeah, like it's, and it sounds like somebody is like literally inside like the trunk or hitting the entire car, right? Or like Spider-Man's
somebody
on top
put
of it.
Did you check? You got all that extra space because there's no like motor. Somebody stash a body in your car?
I know. I was a little worried. I'm like, I'm not the one. I'm not going to check. Like, I'm not going to be the one to open the...
Don't contaminate the crime scene.
The frunk is what they call it.
The frunk. That's so funny.
I'm like, I am not opening the frunk. There's a body in there. Yeah. It's not somebody
frunk,
I know.
No. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So he starts playing around. He's like, it sounds like it's coming through the speakers. I'm like, okay. You're kind of right, but that's volume is turned all the way down.
Stop it. Do you have like the bass up or something?
No, he turned down all of that. Like he turns down everything. It's still happening. We both were just like, I don't know. This is some bizarre stuff. It turns out it is part of the speaker system and it's some sort of noise canceling, which glitching out to not actually noise cancel. So they figured it out, but they did not fix it yet. But anyways, there was no body in my car, no Spider-Man on my ceiling, which is really what it felt like. And I was able to drive away in my car. But now the noise canceling inside doesn't work, or the Bluetooth or anything like that.
Yeah. The cars, they're a peach.
It's
my husband heard some noise in my car and, you know, I couldn't hear it. I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought everything was just fine.
Your new one?
No, my old one. So this is how I got a new one. So he hears this noise and, you know, the last time I've been a long time listener, you know, there was about 3 weeks where I drove a bright orange Dodge Charger.
Yes.
Which, you know, I thought would be a real fun car to drive, but I got over it after 3 weeks because the dealership kept my car for so long. Anywho, so this time he says, you know what, we are going to, because they will give you a loaner, but you have to like make a reservation first. So we made a reservation, and by the time we took my car in to get looked at, it was right after the warranty had expired.
Oh my gosh. Like right after, like you're at like 50,000 in 1 mile.
8 days.
Oh,
it expired
no.
8 days ago.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. They did tell me what the problem was, and it's like, you need to replace these belts, and it's like real expensive. I'm like, I would rather just get a new car than dump that money into the car.
Yeah. Because you, by the way, I think had that car for 5 years.
Yeah. So they gave me a new, and it was used. Yeah. When I bought it. So, So they gave me a new one to drive around.
Oh, and then
you were hooked. And then when we're weighing, I'm like, oh, you know, these new ones are good.
Yes.
Why don't I just get me one of those?
Yeah.
Screw that. You know what the irony is, though? So it took us a while to like figure out what we were going to do. My husband is getting the damn car fixed because he's going to drive my old car to work. He's sick of driving the truck.
Because the gas mileage is probably the trucks. They just eat that gas, you know?
And, you know, wear and tear on the truck. Uh-huh. And he says it hurt. You know, he's an old man. He's like,
he's getting to be.
My back hurts. You know, he got so mad at me. He is the worst. I have to tell him to stop being such a jerk all the time. He teases everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there looking at him and I genuinely said, hey, have you noticed your hair getting thinner? I've never said that to him before. Oh, he damn stormed off and went to bed.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
Oh, he's so mad at me. He's like, you're so mean. I was like, but honestly, like, because
you didn't notice, right? Before.
I've never noticed before. Yeah. And like, I care. And genuinely, I have some scalp serum for you.
Totally.
I can help you out.
It will work too. It will work. You guys, our scalp serum, if you go to 5crimes.com, I promise you it works. It's got that copper peptides that actually enhances hair growth and for boys or girls. And you know what? Our friend Ailish, Nurse Ailish, just asked me, she was like, I don't get it. How does it not make your hair oily? It's not oil. It's not like a hair oil. It is actually like, if anything, it makes it feel like it's clean and cleans your hair.
Yeah, it's true.
Because it's got a little eucalyptus and some tea tree oil. So it actually doesn't, I guess tea tree oil is oil, but it's not one part of it feels oily at all. So you can use it every day, even if you don't wash your hair.
Wet, dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. So anyways, Mr. I can dish it out and take it.
Can't
I found
take it.
Out
yeah.
what he can't there. He's got a little button. Mm-hmm. That's okay. We all have our soft spots.
Listen, I think that's kind of a guy thing. Like they do not want to hear they're losing their hair, but they should get on it early because the earlier you help that problem, the better.
Yeah. Well, I will encourage, but no promises that he's going to be our next, you know, guinea pig because it's very touchy.
Yes. Well, just do it when he's sleeping. Okay, so are you ready for this week's episode?
Sure am.
All right, let's get to it. All right, this week's episode comes out of Denver, Pennsylvania. Did you know there was a Denver, Pennsylvania?
I can't say I did.
Yeah, me neither. You probably didn't know because it is a real small town with a population of just over 3,000, Gretchy.
Okay, yeah, small.
It's in the heart of the Amish country of Lancaster County. Mm. It's a beautiful place. It's got rolling hills, lots of antique shops. You can even get to the market on a horse and buggy if you need.
Is it an Amish community?
There, right outside of Denver, there are a lot of Amish communities. And this other kind of community, I think it's called like a, and I'm saying this wrong because I didn't write it down, but it's like a Megdanite or something like that, which are...
I think it's Messanite.
Messanite, right.
But, they also, you know, if we haven't done any Amish crimes, and I feel like when they're not churning butter, they're getting crimey.
I know.
So we should cover one.
We should cover
one. It's going down. If anybody's got one, send it my way.
These people that I'm going to be talking about were not Amish, but one of them was a Messanite or... something like that. Very conservative. Mm-hmm. And I think if you live around here, you're mostly conservative anyways, because obviously you're surrounded by the Amish. And so you know, it's some people.
Well, when you're surrounded by people that are like all covered up and everything all the time, you don't feel like your crop top is like working for
you. That's right. That is right. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I was just going to tell you, if you want to.
Maybe I should move there.
Be more, well, you should, because you can get a nice home for under $400,000. And I'm talking like 3-bedroom, 2-bath.
Ooh, hot damn.
And then if you go right on the outskirts, you can get a brand new construction, super lovely home for under $500,000. So this day and age, I feel like that is like a steal for a new construction.
Yeah.
Jan and Michael Rosenborough were actually a staple in the town of Denver. You could say that Michael was the last to see anyone in town, because he owned the town's mortuary. Mm. It was a family business passed down from generation to generation. And in a town of 3,000, everybody knows everyone. Jan and Michael were your typical American family. Well, besides him being a mortician, which I don't think is very typical. But other than that, they were both educated, husband and wife, religious. However, I think they went to 2 different churches, which I thought was a little interesting.
That is interesting. A little unusual.
Yeah. Because I would say if I was going to go to church, Sean is for sure going to go to the same church, even though, well, he's Catholic and I was not raised Catholic.
Yeah, but he'd go along to get along with you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, for sure.
Just like you do the same for him.
Like, listen, Jesus is Jesus, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right or no?
No, yeah. I mean, from to quote Steel Magnolias, you know, I don't think he cares which house you go to as long as you show up.
Right. Even in your own house, does that count? That's where I go on Sunday morning.
You know, whatever. And unless you get one of those hateful ones.
Right.
You don't like that.
Okay. Okay. So they had 4 kids. They lived in this really nice house that they had remodeled. And by 2008, Jan and Michael had been married for 19 years. Their oldest son was 17 years old. And their youngest kiddos were, or their youngest kiddo was only 6. So they had 2 in between. So a wide variety of children's ages. Michael worked a lot at the family business, and Jan worked too, but she mostly took care of her kiddos. People would describe her as the typical soccer mom. She was always with her kids. She was real busy. She could always be seen with at least one of her children. And she even did some charity work from time to time.
Listeners, today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Are you busy? Well, of course you are. And if you're like me, that means you put off investing because maybe it just doesn't seem urgent or it's intimidating. Enter Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. What I love about Acorns is that it gives you the tool to give your money a chance to grow. You don't have to start with a lot. Just start. Believe me, it feels great. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Investing involves risk, including the loss of the principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors, LLC, Acorns is an SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com. It was said that they did very well for themselves, which I can imagine, because one thing in life you are guaranteed is that you will die. So unfortunately, but fortunately, Michael's business always thrived. And they, from from all what their friends say, they had a pretty good amount of money. In the summer of 2008, these two put a brand new pool in their backyard, which was well received by the kids as well as Jan and Mike. I mean, it was a treat, right? To have a pool of your own in your backyard. It's like, let me tell you, super nice, especially if you live in Texas.
Yeah, well, makes the neighbors come over.
It does. You, by the way, have like the Earth's pool in your backyard.
For the ocean.
The ocean, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I'm real nice to the neighbors that have a pool. Yeah. I mean, that's not the only reason I love you if you're listening, but it helps.
It does. I'm not gonna lie. It does help. I know. I always liked going to friends' houses that had pools. Like, we never had one. So we had a community pool, which I loved in the summer, you know. But
Yeah.
Okay. The two had a nice house, now a great pool. They even had a pool house, which is super fancy in my opinion.
Oh my God, so bougie. Yeah, that is the pool super, house.
Super bougie. I mean, even now if people have pool houses, I'm like, okay, you're one step up.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They were a good looking couple. And actually the ladies often talked about Michael and his good looks. Let me just say, there obviously wasn't a lot to choose from, okay? But Jan and him must have saw something in each other because 19 years, well, I mean, he must have been doing something right. The summer of 2008 started off really good. Like I said, they had that pool. The kids were enjoying it. The Roseboros were staying up late, having people over all the time. Like you said, people want to come over because you have a pool. And they had kids, you know, in middle school and high school. So I can imagine people were always coming and going. The night of July 22nd was no different. Jan and Michael were outside enjoying the warm summer night. The Roseboros, they were just chilling out by their pool. Jan was lying on the ground admiring the stars above, and Michael was on the steps of the pool, just kind of arms stretched out wide, taking it all in. Sam, their 17-year-old son, was out at the pool house with a friend for a bit eating, and then him and his buddy left to go to another friend's house that had a pool around 10 o'clock. At that time, Michael decided he was ready for bed. Jan wasn't really ready to head in yet, so she stayed out to enjoy the stars and watch the planes flying over. Then just before 11 o'clock, Michael got up and he noticed that the lights and the tiki torches around the pool were still on. So he went back out to the pool to put the tiki torch out. And when he got to the first torch, he noticed that his wife was at the bottom of the deep end of the pool.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to play the 911 call now.
Lancaster County 911.
Everyone wakes this drowned.
I'm sorry?
Everyone wakes this drowned.
Okay. And what happened?
I had gone to bed about an hour and a half ago, and she was outside, and I came out, and I saw the lights were still on the pool, but, the torches were still on. And I came out, and I found her in the deep end of the pool.
Okay. Is she breathing?
No, she's not.
Is she still in the water?
No, I pulled her out.
Okay. Do you want to try to start CPR on her?
I will, yeah.
Okay. Do you need help to do that? I can give you instructions on what to do.
I was lifeguard. I know.
Right. I can walk you through it if you want help.
I want to get her out of the pool.
What's that?
I want to get her out of the pool.
She's still in the pool?
I
thought you said she was out of the pool.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. She's out of the pool. Help me through it, please.
Okay. So she is out of the pool?
Yes.
Okay. What I want you to do, is there anybody else there?
My children are asleep.
How old are your children?
12, 9, and 6.
Okay. What we need to do is get her on her back.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You have her flipped over onto her back?
She's on her back, yes.
Okay. I want you to check and see if she has a pulse. Do you know how to do that?
I do.
Okay.
There's no pulse.
There is none?
No, there's not.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to start the CPR, okay?
Okay.
Keep her head tilted back, pinch her nose closed. Cover her mouth with yours and give her two deep regular breaths, about 1 second each.
Okay.
Is that the siren for the fire department there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, hold on. I just throw up. Please, hold on.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Is there somebody there?
Not yet, no.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to start the compressions, okay? Go ahead and put your hand on her chest. I want you to pump her chest hard and fast about 30 times, about twice a second.
Okay.
Okay, but the chest come up all the way between pumps. And let me know when you've done it 30 times, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead and do that.
All right.
You did it about 30 times?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead and look in. I want you to look in her mouth and see if there's anything in there.
No,
okay.
The ambulance is here, sir.
The ambulance is there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Go get them, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm. You want to think guilty.
You already think guilty?
Yeah, okay. First of all, I'm not really buying that you're just, nobody leaves those tiki torches just burning on like a Tuesday. Like that, you only light those like during a party. I don't really get it. And I don't, let's say you like, I give you the benefit of the doubt that you do just light them for whatever. You wouldn't mention that to the dispatcher. You wouldn't be like, I was out there to turn off the last, you know, torch. Like he seems like she might be in the pool. She might be out of the pool. Who the fuck cares? She drowned.
Yeah, he's very
blasé.
Laissez-faire, right? Which he is a mortician, so he sees dead people all the time. But this is your wife, the mother of your children. And the weird part was, right, that I think is that she was in the pool. She was out of the pool. She was in the pool again. And then he's a lifeguard. He knows how to administer CPR. But then after he gets all flustered because the guy's like, wait, you said she was out of the pool. He's like, oh, yeah, she's actually out of the pool. He is like, okay, walk me through it. And then asks for help to how to do CPR. It's suspicious, I will say.
It's suspicious, yeah.
So, well, let me tell you what happens from here. The scene, of course, is pretty chaotic when the ambulance arrives. They try resuscitating Jan, giving her CPR, as well as seeing if like an AFib would help. I guess like once they hook you up, it tells you if like they can AFib her. At this point, Sam, who was down the street, their son, came home from hearing sirens and seeing that, you know, it looked like the ambulance was at his house. When he gets there, he sees them loading his mom into the ambulance. It looks pretty bad. Jan looked to be in dire straits. The officer asked if Mike wanted to go with Jan to the hospital, but because his children were at home, I think he declined and stayed back. In the ambulance, they were actually able to revive a heartbeat from Jan, but she did succumb to her injuries shortly after arriving at the hospital. There was an odd thing, though, that happened. As her heart started to beat, blood started pouring out of a wound in the side of her head.
Ooh.
So they thought, well, maybe Jan slipped and fell and then like fell into the pool, which would explain head injury and then finding her on the bottom of the pool. Back at the Roseboro's home, people started to accumulate. Michael was really stoic, just kind of like he was on that 911 call. He stayed kind of to the side of his house. He smoked a ton of cigarettes and he just looked to be on the phone. People started coming, like all of his family. You know, the town is small. It's like the neighbors are out there. The family's out there. Everyone is pretty somber, as you can imagine. All the kids besides the eldest stayed asleep and investigators kind of started walking around trying to see like what could have happened. They questioned Michael about Jan's alcohol use and he said, nope, she had not had one sip of alcohol that night. And so the investigators are thinking like drownings just don't happen like that for adults.
Listen, first of all, I don't even get the like wanting to watch the airplanes go by. That seems like a dumb reason to sit outside. And if I want to sit outside to watch the airplanes go by, there would be cocktails involved. Okay.
Totally. I so agree with you. And you're just laying on the like ground, like looking up. I think I'd be laying on a lounge chair, just saying.
Yeah.
Michael actually thought that maybe she had a heart attack and fell in because she had heart disease that ran in her family. But Jan was only 45. So I think the idea of her having a heart attack at 45 and falling in the pool and dying while like the 58 minutes that he was supposedly sleeping upstairs is probably not a probability.
Yeah.
Nothing was really out of place or messy. Nothing seemed to be a tripping hazard around the pool. The home looked to be in order. And the initial walkthrough didn't seem like there was a struggle or anything really out of place. There was a bucket with a red rag and some sort of cleaning fluid outside by the pool. It wasn't taken into evidence. It was just kind of noted and glanced over. While the investigators were at the Rosenbergs' house, they did get a phone call. One of them got a phone call from doctor that said that there was this big gash in Jan's skull. Like I told you, it was like bleeding out, you know. He said it was really deep behind the ear and looked like it could be a bullet wound.
Ooh.
So they did take her down to x-ray and see if it was a bullet wound, but it turned out it wasn't. But it was so deep that it like went all the way down to her skull. So they were like, there's got to be something to make that kind of gash, you know, that big. There must be some sort of weapon or something around. Investigators thought that it was suspicious that Mike's behavior seemed really stoic, not frantic, not crying, not anything like you would think if you're like, he didn't even go to the hospital, right? They wondered also why he hadn't asked them if Jan actually survived or if she was dead. He never once asked if she had died at the hospital. And actually,
yeah, that's weird.
No one did. And
yeah, that's weird.
I think it's weird too. I mean, do you think it's weird even if he was like a mortician and he like knew, or I don't know. I still feel like there could be a miracle even if you do deal with dead people all the time. And actually, they did start a heart.
There is a possibility that he was just in shock.
True.
And so I can see someone being in shock and not being as emotional mm-hmm. as you would anticipate them being. But his demeanor comes across as not like confused and shocked. It comes across like it's no sweat.
Yeah, I agree. They ask Mike to come down to the station with them to do a more formal account of what happened that night, and he agreed. By this time, it was after 2 a.m., and Mike answered all their questions. He said the two of them had a great marriage. They just had their 19-year wedding anniversary in May, and they were planning a vow renewal in August with all the family. They were all going on a trip, and he had even like already called the minister to do the vow renewal. He said that the two of them were just enjoying their pool until about 10 o'clock when he went to bed. All the kids were sleeping in their room as they did in the summer. And he went to bed, and at 10:58, he noticed that the lights were still on, just like I said earlier. And he went down to turn off the one tiki torch and saw Jan in the pool. He said he then called 911 and then did CPR. That's it. Same story that he said before. He did say that Jan didn't drink, but she did take Adderall because she had ADHD, and which she took on a daily basis. So it wasn't out of the ordinary. He also said that Jan wasn't feeling well in the days earlier and that she thought she might have some sort of stomach virus. But other than that, it was just a normal night. The detectives did notice that Michael kept dabbing his upper lip, but they didn't know why. It looked to be bleeding, but they couldn't really tell because Michael has a goatee, so it's covered. Mm. Investigators still just had this really uneasy feeling about an adult drowning. So they asked Mike if they could do, and I call him Mike or Michael. Okay, same guy. They asked him if they could do a walkthrough in his house once more, and he agreed. Now, it's not a search warrant. It's like they get the guy to sign a paper, but it's not like they can go in and take everything and be like real abrasive like they do with a search warrant. This is more of like a friendly, let me take a look again, let me not piss off the homeowner kind of invasion of privacy sort of thing. So investigators return to the house and they do a quick sweep, to which they find nothing again out of the ordinary. But when the autopsy findings come back from the hospital that very next day, it painted a very different picture of a slip and fall. Jan had actually been severely beaten over the head and choked. Someone knew what they were doing when they grabbed both of Jan's carotid arteries. They like are on the both of the sides and they squeezed. Uh-huh. This creates bruising and cuts off all blood flow to the brain. And people, if you do this, if they pass out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
She had bruising to her body as well, her arms, like she was being held against her will. She also had some sort of soapy liquid in her lungs. So she did ultimately drown. But before she drowned, she had a massive struggle. They were able to remove also three of Jan's fingernails to collect DNA that might have been under her fingers. Jan actually had only, I guess, three fingers and a thumb on her right hand because she had like cut the tip of her finger off in some other accident at some point. Jan's sweatshirt was also examined and found to have a significant amount of blood on it. And she was found with her sweatshirt on in the water. Like her clothes were on. Her shoes were on. Everything was on when they found her. They could see that the blood was on her sweatshirt before she had been resuscitated by the ambulance, because they cut into her shirt to like do the, you know, CPR and try to see if they can revive her. So after hearing this, of course, the investigators wonder, like, where did all the blood go? How was she bleeding before she went into the water? But there was no signs of blood or no evidence of blood in or around the pool that they could see that night. So they ended up going back to the Rosenboroughs' home the next day. This time they noticed that Michael has scratches around his face, three distinct scratches, one on like the right side and two on the left side of his mouth. They question him a bit about this. And they said, hey, Michael, you know what? We want you to come down to the station once again. And Michael agreed. When he came down to the station later that day, investigators read him his Miranda rights. And they really started to interrogate him. They asked about his scratches, and he said he was playing basketball in the pool with his daughter. They told him also at this point that Jan died via homicide, and it was not an accidental drowning. Again, Michael just is completely stoic. This does not alarm him. He does not say, like, how the heck could my wife have been killed in the hour that I went to bed?
Yeah, he should be infuriated. It's somebody broke in and killed his wife.
Yes, but he doesn't act like that. He just acts like nothing. He also, wouldn't you be worried about your children? Like, hello? Like, if somebody killed my wife.
Does he, I know we've talked about her drug use, which Adderall, that's not like putting you to sleep, right? Quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite.
Does he take anything? Like, does he have an excuse? Is he like on something?
Does he take something to like put him to sleep? Like some sort of
Valium? Well, just something to make him a little boring. Yeah, like, is he on the Valium or a lot of the pot?
Oh, yeah. Not that I know of. He said he did not have anything that night but two beers. So I don't think so.
Well, it's not looking good for you, Michael.
No, it's not looking good. So this behavior, or lack thereof, did not look good for Mike. But they questioned him again, and his story did not change. Goes to bed at 10, wakes up at 10:58. By the way, I also think that's really weird. Like, you don't actually, like, go to bed at 10. Like, you don't fall asleep at 10, right? You fall asleep at like, I mean, if you're me, I fall asleep right away. But most people take whatever, 15 minutes to fall asleep, 15 minutes. And then you're going to wake up within like 30 minutes of that to check on stuff. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Like, you know, 10:58. I just got screwed out of some sleep with this damn time change.
You're supposed to add an hour.
Listen, I know. I set my alarm, you know, all this normal stuff I do on my phone. But I woke up and I looked at the clock and went, oh, my God, I must not have set my alarm. So I go make the coffee, blah, blah, blah. And then look at my phone and go, motherfucker, it's 5:30.
Oh, that's funny. My clock in my room must be like on Wi-Fi or something, because it changed automatically.
My clock is on Wi-Fi. I don't have the problem.
I just was thinking that. But
well,
I never
changed it. We have the problem.
You don't have the bougie clock, huh? You know, mine also, it shines on the bedroom ceiling. So I don't even have to like look, crank my neck. It just look up and that's where the time is.
You know, we also have a clock in our downstairs that is set to 8 p.m.
And always.
Always. Uh-huh. And a couple of times people have tried to point it out and we are like, mom's the word. Because our kids haven't figured it out.
Also, you can always say it's 8 o'clock.
We always say it's bedtime.
Oh my look, God.
It's bedtime. Gretchen. It's been years.
Oh my God, your kids. When they find out, that's going to be so funny. Okay. So back to Michael. As much as they tried to break Michael and have him confess, he was firm. He was not going to confess to anything. So while they were questioning him, they got a real search warrant to go in and search the pool and, you know, all around where they think that poor Jan was murdered. They even used Luminol. Mm-hmm. When investigators arrived to the house, they noticed that there were cans and stuff around the pool that was not there before. So, and this was the 24th. Okay. So 2 days after Jan had passed. So they were real surprised that they were having a pool party in the pool that Jan just died within a day or two of Jan's murder.
No, that's whack.
Dude, it's so fucking whack. Like, who does that? Also, it did surprise the neighbors, too. They told them that they were like having a party and partying it up. And they were like so disturbed.
It would take so long before I would use the pool. Well, I'd probably sell the damn house, but
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know.
I don't think I could get back in the pool. Mm-mm. No,
I don't think so either. So as much as they, you know, thought this was really fucking weird, they still were there to do a job. So they went to, you know, spray all the luminol, look around, and they could not find anything. There was no blood, nothing. It had rained, I think on the night of the 23rd, or the night, one of the nights it had like downpoured. So there was that. And then there were people in the pool, which there's chlorine and shit. So I don't know. I mean, there's a possibility.
He's a mortician.
But
he knows all the right chemicals to use to clean shit up.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I mean, because here is a fun fact. Bleach might as well be blood if you're cleaning up a crime scene, because they'll use that against you.
Yes, but do you know what does clean up without a trace? Should I say?
Yeah, I feel like we've gone over this.
Hydrogen peroxide. What is it?
That's, yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, it whitens your teeth if you want to put a little bit on your toothbrush.
Good for so many things.
I know, it really is. Okay, so it was really bizarre that they could not find any evidence at all. But like you said, this guy often works with bodily fluids, knows how to clean it up. So it probably was something like that. Michael also realized at this point that he was a suspect. So he got real smart and lawyered up. So there wasn't going to be any more talking to Michael, which there wasn't much to say anyways. This guy is like not a talker. Mm-hmm. But maybe it didn't matter that Mike wasn't talking, because small towns have big mouths. And pretty much right away, someone anonymously called into the police department to let them know about Mike and his secret little love affair that he was having with a married woman by the name of Angela Funk.
Oh.
Angie. Well,
it was really Funk?
Funk. Yeah. Funky.
Damn. Yeah. Funky. Okay. That sounds like
funky
a porn
funk.
Name.
What?
It sounds like a porn name. Angela Funk.
Well, let me tell you, she was anything but a porn star. Okay. Angie, as she went by.
Maybe she missed her calling. She already has the name.
She does, right? Angela Lynn Funk, at your mm-hmm. service. Mm-hmm. She was in her late 30s. She had a pixie cut. Very conservative woman. She was the Messonite or whatever.
Those are the ones that like to get their freak on the most.
Dude, I know. That's why I think he fell for her. Because, dude,
you're all buttoned up equals sex dungeon.
Totally. Okay? 100%. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. Okay. But on the outside, Angie sits on her porch, on her swing by herself. She's got two kids, a husband. She's real conservative. She used to ride a horse and buggy to school, that kind of shit. Now she just wears the big blouses, long skirts, and looks real boring.
Clearly she's pulling them up.
She would be soon after she met Michael. But no one would have ever guessed that Michael, the one who actually was the flirt around town, would have gone for Angie, but he did. And actually,
Forbidden fruit.
Yeah. These two were having a full blown affair. Okay. Angie was questioned right away, and turns out that the two, well, they were obsessed with each other. Angie had been obsessed with Mike, I think, for years. She lived next door to Mike's parents, and from her house, she could see the funeral home. Her friends say that she fantasized over him and actually at one point said that she would have liked to be his wife.
Yeah, that's weird.
Side note, I don't know if like Channing Tatum was the local mortician, if I would fantasize over him.
You know, no, I don't think you would.
I don't think I would either. But small towns have slim pickings, I'm guessing.
And you're pretty ruthless. I don't think so. I also think it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I take note, like there, I've seen a hot dad here and there mm-hmm. around town.
Yeah.
But I know they're like married dad. Like it doesn't, like, it's not like I don't
it doesn't
notice
go,
them.
It doesn't go,
it doesn't
past,
go
like,
further
dad.
Than that. It doesn't go yes. to fantasy land.
No, I know. And so that's, I was thinking this too, because there's this dad around here, and I had saw him like, I don't know, 2 years. I probably told you about it. At football, and I was like, oh my God, that guy, hot dad, right? And mm-hmm. and that's what me and a few girls refer to him. I have no idea what his name is. I don't even like, I haven't seen him in like whatever, but that is as far as it just like hot dad, haha, right?
Yeah.
But like saying, like fantasizing, like, oh, I wish I was married to him, that's another level.
Yeah. And you got it real bad if you want to be married to the mortician. I mean, that is not, there's no, as somebody's got to do it, you know, I mean, I appreciate the dirty jobs, right?
Yes.
But I mean, I don't want you coming home, bringing all God. Those like
after more tissue.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, that'd be like 24-hour seven sage.
Yeah.
Get right. that shit oh, away. God. I couldn't do it.
I don't know if I could.
I'd rather the garbage. No shame in the waste management.
No.
Than the body management. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I hear you. Okay. So the day that Angie and Mike finally ran into each other at the coffee shop, I'm sure she was getting wet all over, and whatever eyes they shared that day locked them into an eternal weave. Of course, it started off with lunch and then hundreds, Gretchy, of text messages. I mean, like daily, and emails and more emails and like 30 emails a day. I mean, I don't know. Like she's just sitting at, she works.
That's
so
weird.
Like sitting yeah. at her desk, just like emailing him all day. And their long phone calls went to actually boinking. And dude, they even had sex in the funeral home.
Kinky.
That's what you're saying.
Sex dungeon. Yeah. They probably did it in a coffin.
Oh my God. No. That would be mm-hmm. like, that would be next level, man. Mm-hmm. When I say that these two were obsessed with each other, they were totally. They talked about leaving their spouses, raising their children together, and being the happiest that they ever had been in their whole entire world when they met. I mean, the emails just make you want to puke. And I swear, if my husband ever wrote that to another woman, I wouldn't be the one that they were finding dead. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Turns out that Angie and Mike were also with each other for hours the day of Jan's murder. They spent the longest that they had ever been that day having sex in a abandoned apartment.
Ew. I mean,
it's not glamorous, let me tell you. Like funeral home.
Getting so hot thinking SUV. About these. Yeah. Yeah.
And
car sex, abandoned apartment.
Abandoned apartment.
Funeral apartment.
Not gross. Sexy. Yeah, no gross.
Angie, gross.
They also talked on the phone that night just before Jan had died. Now, this was not Mike's first affair. And actually, Jan knew of others. He once got caught before because of a big phone bill. He must not have had the unlimited plan. Seems like this guy kind of ran around town and had affairs, but this one seemed different. This one, Mike was as obsessed as the woman was. Of course, Mike also did not mention this to the investigators. To him, he was going to have this vow renewal for their 19-year wedding anniversary. And that's all he told the investigators, which, by the way, was just in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, rookie mistake.
So the more the investigators looked into this love affair, it was quickly to notice that the obsession was there. The email, the exchanges, the two lovebirds, they realized that Mike, he had a motive to kill his wife near the death of Jan. By the way, this love affair between these two started at the end of May, and now we're at July 22nd is when Jan died. So it wasn't very long. But near the end of Jan's life, the text exchanges and the emails got to where like, I need you now. I need you to be my wife within 12 months. And they talked about divorce. But here's the thing. If Jan and Mike were to get divorced, the family business was at stake, right? And financially, 50% is not as fun as 100%. Mm-mm. These two, I think, were just living in a 2-month fantasy world, but they were consumed with being married to one another. And he kept saying that he was having sleepless nights because all he could think about was having sex with her and being with her and being married by the end of the year. Oh, in another letter, he wrote that he would go to any length to be with her at the same time he's planning this vow renewal. So something also just didn't add up to anybody, really. And here's the other thing. I told you he had like his business to lose at 50%, but Michael Rosenberg actually had more to lose if he was to divorce Jan. His father actually caught him cheating once and told him that he was going to split the business into quarters, leaving Mike with just a mere fraction. And had he got divorced with just a quarter, what, he gets like 12% of the business at that point. So he was really scared that if he was to leave his wife or get caught having an affair, he was dwindling down his like earnings to nothing.
Well, here's a thought. Maybe start your own business. Try something else. Sell it before, cash out, invest in something new. I don't know. Get used to living in a condo. I'll bet you could get a real good deal out there.
Oh, sure.
You don't need to be doing the killing.
No, but if you did the killing and you got away with it, you get everything, right? You get the kids, you get the business, you get the house, you get it all.
Isn't it funny though that it, like, leave it to a dude to think that like he's going to move in with his side boo and his kids that are going to, and that everybody, it's going to be one big happy family. It don't work like that. They don't, it does not blend like a smoothie, buddy. It not for anybody. It takes a while, especially when you move on 1 minute after the tragic death.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes years to get to that point.
Yeah. Well, after a couple of weeks of gathering evidence from neighbors, Angela herself, emails, and friends of Michael Rosenberg, he was finally arrested for the murder of his wife. And what we notice is that he's a real liar, pants on fire. Okay. First, he never told his family that Jan was murdered. Like the whole time before he was arrested, he kept telling them that she had drowned. Even though of a heart attack, by the way, that's what he told everybody. He never told them that Jan had been beaten to death before they found her in the pool, which wouldn't you think if your wife was murdered, not by you, that you would be like, oh my God, somebody came. And I would almost be like, who was with my son? Could it have been that kid? Or, you know, like I would, not that it was, because it wasn't, but I would be questioning anybody and everybody around me. I would not stop and like, until I could like account for anybody that I ever knew and where they were, you know?
Well, he really doesn't seem like the brightest crayon in the box because, hello, if the police know, everybody's going to know at some point he should have been saying, you guys aren't going to believe this.
Yeah.
They are saying that she was damn murdered.
Yes.
I have no idea how that could have happened.
In the 58 minutes that I left, actually, the friend that left, he said that they left a little bit after 10. So it would have been even a shorter amount of time, like 45 minutes. Well, he did come up with a story. He did finally tell the police that that she had some jewelry, $40,000 worth of jewelry that she was wearing and it was missing. So she must have been robbed out by the pool that night. However, that theory was kind of thrown out because she did go to the bank that day and they have surveillance and she did not have any jewelry on at the bank. Also, her friend was a bank teller, said she was not wearing any jewelry that day.
$40,000 worth of jewelry is some bling.
It is, right? I mean, like your wedding ring, diamond earrings probably add up pretty quickly.
I'd just be surprised that the mortician's wife was knocking around with, you know, 10K on her ears. That's a little shocking.
I think
she went and bought them at Costco, got a nice pair of diamond hoops for maybe $1,200 to $1,500.
I would
expect to see those on the mortician's wife's ears.
Speaking of diamond hoops, Heather McDonald has some information on her diamond hoops. I told my husband that I would like some diamond hoop earrings because I'm tired of buying them from Express or wherever I go and get these diamonds. And then my ears start turning like
green,
black or green.
Yeah, that happens to me.
That's what I do too, which is fine. But I'm like, hey, if I had some real ones. And he like laughed at me. He was like, oh yeah, okay. I'm like, I'm not saying now, but maybe eventually.
Well, you know, I just, you all heard it here. I told my husband exactly what I wanted for Christmas this year.
Oh.
Perfume. It's a good one, right?
Oh, yeah. That is a good one.
I would like some nice, I want the Gucci Bloom perfume.
Oh, is that what
that's
you want?
That's what I want.
I have a good perfume too. It's a Louis Vuitton one and it smells so delicious.
I like this one. Smells like Plumeria. It's my favorite.
All right. Okay.
I have the knockoff version.
Yeah.
And it lasts for about 5 minutes. So I would like the real version.
Okay. Well, that's a good one. I'll tell him. Okay. He also would not admit that he was having an affair. Although like, dude, there's emails, like there's text messages. He kept saying, nope, Angie was just a girl that was helping him with his vow renewal. That's what he told everybody.
Duh.
Not that he was having sex with her.
Mm-mm.
The other thing is that Michael and Angie did meet up also in between him getting Jan dying and him getting arrested. He could not stay away. They were cuddling and kissing behind the mortuary. But the biggest kicker of all, let me tell you, Gretchy, came on August 1st when investigators got a call from Angie herself, and she said that she was pregnant with Michael's baby.
And she called the investigators to tell them.
What's she did, which I think is a little sus, by the way.
Yeah.
She claims that she found out that day that she was pregnant with his child. And she knew it was his because her husband had had a vasectomy. Well, I have thoughts of on my own on this, because it's like, I have a theory that maybe she told him the day that Jan died. And that's why he went fucking berserk, because he's like, that's shit.
I like that theory.
Yes. And then they both were like, well, we got to tell the investigators. I don't know why, but they must have thought there was a reason that they needed to tell them that that was the day that she found out a week after Jan died and not before. I guess probably because that would be a motivator also, right?
Right.
Like he's got to do something. And from the time that Jan died to his arrest, he had hundreds of emails and text messages to Angie, which is also just not smart, dude. Like, you are just digging your own grave.
Yeah.
In court, there was plenty of evidence to show that Michael wasn't telling the truth about that night. First being the friend that came over, you know, the Sam, his son's friend, said that he was wearing red, like, board shorts, swimming trunks when he passed him, you know, when I said he was like laying out there, like on the steps with his arms laid out. And then when he came back with Sam, when she was being put in the ambulance, he was still in those shorts, which he wouldn't be in those shorts if he was sleeping. And you right. wouldn't put on, like, I don't think he would put on swim shorts to go turn off the tiki torches. Also, two different neighbors said that they left around 10 o'clock that night and saw no lights on in the backyard at all, and made note of it because there were usually lights on in their backyard, but this time there was not even one. It was super dark. The entire house was dark.
Listen, I knew it about the tiki torch. Especially, you have people over, you have the tiki torches on.
I know.
They leave, you save that fuel.
I know, right? Totally true. The other thing is Jan's DNA came back from under her fingernails, and guess whose DNA was under her fingernails?
The husband, Michael.
Michael's. So those three scratches,
I mean,
for
Buddy
sure.
is her husband. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. So they, like, what he says, oh, well, she was giving me a back rub or whatever. But she wasn't in the pool. So, like, they had to, that DNA had to been, like, real dug in there.
And real, you know, in there. And you had clearly, Michael, you haven't been paying attention to her. She's not rubbing your back.
I know, right? No way.
I mean, to get me to be giving you a back rub, you got to be talking to me nicely a lot.
Yeah. So they think the gash probably came from the side of a planter box when she fell in the struggle. And then he threw her in the pool. He cleaned it up and then called 911. Mm-hmm. His story wasn't exactly straight, you know, when she was in the water, when she wasn't out of the water, like we said. He's just a big bullshitter. And like I said, I think when he found out the baby was coming, it was kind of time for him to take care of things. The theory of the robbery, I told you, didn't hold true. But his son and his family, they still believe this robbery story. They think that she was murdered for her $40,000 of jewelry that has never been discovered. I can imagine being the son, 17-year-old Sam. It would be really hard to think that your dad would do that to your mom. And so he still believes his dad is innocent.
It would be really hard.
The other three kids were raised by the aunt at that house. They stayed in that house. Michael was obviously found guilty because he's 57 years old and he is in prison still. He'll be there until he dies. And Angie, by the way, guess what?
What?
She had the baby.
She
who
did.
Has to be like 14 now. Okay. And she stayed with her husband.
Oh my gosh. And the husband stayed with her.
Stayed with her.
That's a pretty amazing husband. Angie. Why?
I think it must be because of religious reasons. Supposedly they didn't have like a very loving relationship. It was just kind of like a business agreement kind of thing. So
I guess it just seems like such an inauthentic way to live. I don't know. I'd have a real hard time getting over it, especially. I mean, I know people do and, I, you know, I'm all for that. But when there's a child. produced by it, that's Ooh. Real tough, you know, hard to move on. Like, I must have caught my eyes from you, Daddy. No, you didn't, son. No, you didn't.
I know. What do you like?
You know, that's tricky.
It's tricky. He did not talk to her for a long time, like a long, long, long time. They did not talk. And then she finally did call him in prison after she had the baby. And she told him that the baby looked like him. But I mean, I don't know, like weird.
Yeah, weird.
Weird.
All right.
And so rest in peace, Jan. Hopefully she's living it up in heaven. Mm-hmm. And her kids are now grown. You know, this was in 2008. So hopefully they're living long and happy lives. I tried to look up Angie, but she's hiding, which is probably good.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. She doesn't do Facebook, but she might, you know, like she might. I don't think she has it. She's like a horse and buggy kind of girl.
Yeah.
So that is the story of Jan and Michael Rosenborough and Angela Funk. Okay. If you have not checked out our Patreon or bonus episodes, now is the time because it's holiday season and we send out something special to our bonus listeners. Go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime to sign up on Patreon. If you listen on Apple, I will be announcing where to go to send us your address so that we can send you something special. You can also follow us on the bonus side of Spotify, Housewives of True Crime bonus content. And for Christmas, we're sending you something. We do something different every year, so I don't know what it will be yet, but it's going to be good.
I appreciate the honesty. I'm like,
Gretchen's like, what are we sending? We have not talked about this yet. Yes. We haven't, but we will this week. Also, please check out Five Crimes, fivecrimes.com. And that is where you will get our beauty stuff that we produced. And it's our favorite thing. So right now you can get the scalp serum that will help your hair grow, which is delicious and amazing. And both Gretchy and I, look at somebody yesterday was like, oh, you have your hair stuff in. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see my hair is really long right now. Like she thought I had the Hidden Crown in. I was like, no, girl, this is all mine. All mine.
All you.
All of a sudden, all mine. And then the Illuminist Lust is a tanning cream, which is like you put drops into your own lotion. It's great. And then we also have the serum for your face, which is, it's like yellow. It has a pineapple smell. It's so good. You can put it on multiple times a day. I also put it on top of my makeup sometimes and it doesn't like rub it off or anything. But check it all out. It's all good. I promise you it's made from the best ingredients. It's all natural. It's really healthy for your skin. Healthy for the environment. And I think that's all for today, Gretchy Poo.
Okay.
All right. Clink, clink,
clink, clink.